Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's the Plant-Based Morning Show, Thursday, March 14th. If you're not a math person like me, you might not know that it is Pi Day, which was brought to my attention yesterday by listener, watcher, viewer, Britters. Thank you, Britters, for bringing that up. I did a little research on Pi Day to prepare for this show. Actually, I didn't really. I did my normal research reading the Morning Brew, and they started off by reminding us that that there was a guy who did 100,000 digits of pi, recited them, took him 16 hours, and it was like a spiritual quest for him. So that was cool. We'll get into that in just a minute. And then the big news today is Impossible Foods rebrand. They went red, away from the green. Lots of good psychological reasons to do that. We'll get into that in just a bit. And then we've got also eight UPFs, ultra-processed foods, that a nutritionist says are good for you. One nutritionist says they're good for you. We'll see if we think they actually are. Doug, how are we doing today?
We're doing great, Matt. I think I probably share this every Pi Day, but it's just my favorite story. It's along those similar lines. One of my best friends in high school, math class. Mm-hmm. Is this ringing a bell? Do you know the story?
I don't think so.
Okay. One of my best friends in high school math class, at the beginning of the year, he had some challenge that if anyone could learn the first 150 digits of Pi, they got an automatic A in the class.
Okay.
No one had ever gotten past, 20 or something like that before screwing up. And so this guy made it his life mission to learn the first 150 digits of Pi, and he recited them all, and he got an automatic A and did nothing else to the rest of the class. And the teacher hated it. Absolutely hated it.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a great, you'd love to hear that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, good old Ben.
Think I would have done that. I think if that had been presented to me, I believe I would have been that kid. I don't know if I would have succeeded, but I would have tried really hard.
You would have tried?
Because I don't think I would have had the methods at my disposal. What did he? Did he use a trick? He must have had something.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, the whole field of memory stuff has come, I think, a long way since whatever that was.
Yeah, I doubt he was studying memory tricks that heavily. I think he just literally.
That's crazy because I just don't know how your brain can hold that like that. I mean, you can remember seven digits for phone numbers based on the sound of them. I think, but if you do visual stuff, you might be able to remember a little bit more, maybe. But I think you need techniques. Anyway, the guy who did it, each of the digits got a special syllable, just a sound that went with it, and then from those syllables, he started putting together an epic story in his head.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm sure he wrote down and wrote down what the syllables are and then made this story. And so if there was if a syllable was og and it was a dog was in this story, right? That might be one of the numbers. And then every time that comes up, something with og happens and maybe August or right. So like this thing, sorry. And then this, he eventually, you just can do it that way. So it's kind of crazy. But I do understand how it's. Did you know that I think I told this that I memorized a deck of cards over COVID?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I haven't heard this. I can't remember much about it.
I read a book called Moonwalking with Einstein. Great book. It got me all into the memory stuff for a little bit. And you assign each card, each number, and each suit. I think gets 52 different things have like three things with them, like Michael Jackson shoveling. Dog feces. I don't know. Just whatever. Three memorable things, like a person, an action, and an object that they're doing it on. And then you walk through your house and you have some amount of spots in your places in your house, 18, 19 spots. And in each of these spots, something's going on involving one of these things from each card. And then and once you do it, like it's very easy to do. It's just like, it's not hard to keep it straight in your head. You just have to get the machinery in place.
What's the benefit of that skill?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there is much of one. It's cool to see how your mind works.
That
you can do that sort of thing.
And is it helpful to your mind? I mean,
is it mental stretching?
Like, yeah.
I don't even think so. Cause like I said, it's not like it's a whole bunch of recall you're doing when you are doing it. You're just remembering the story, remembering the walk through your house and what it looked like. So I don't really know. I have no idea. I'm sure there's weird cases where it might be useful. For a student, it could be useful, right? You can learn a bunch of information. I learned the provinces of Italy that way as well. I learned it in that order with tricks, making up a story.
Could you, I mean, it, does it somehow like if you meet somebody, because I'm terrible at remembering names first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bad at it, I think, because I just don't even try. Like, you know, you say, hey, I'm Matt. And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm Doug. And I'm like, on to the next thought, right? Like,
yep. Well, people do that, right? People do the same strategy with that.
Okay.
Yeah. They make a funny image of the person. They match their name, rhyme a name to another sound, and then make a funny image of that person doing some weird thing involving that sound. And then whenever they see that person, they think of this absurd image, and then that reminds them name sounds like whatever. Yeah. So it's a very interesting thing. I don't know if it's useful, but very, very cool. So that's pi. I mean, pi is an interesting number that is much, it's a very, very trivial pursuit just to memorize the digits of it, right? It's one of these like handful of numbers that is at the center of our universe, basically. You know, so many things, it just comes out of so many things. So interesting thing. I don't know a lot about pi, but there are books on it.
Yeah.
One could read them.
You could. One slight side note, today's Pi Day, March 14th, right? 3.14.
Yep.
On 3/11, NPR's Tiny Desk Concerts released a concert with 3/11. And I watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
And man, it's just like, it's kind of hard to watch bands that you really liked many years ago and looking at them playing the same songs all these years later. And just not as good, like they're playing the same things and then it's not playing as good, you know?
Yeah. That kind of rock. I mean, they had a little bit of the rock rap, vibe.
Right.
Nick Hexum, right? Was that the guy's name? And it's hard. You're right. Once it doesn't seem the same coming out of a 50-year-old's mouth as it did a 20-year-old, it seems to have a lot more edge. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 3/11. I think that's a good. They have a good sound. I like their songs now more than I did when I was in high school.
Mm.
I just think that sound has held up very well, but I can see how the live performance wouldn't be that good now.
Yeah. Got some love for 3/11 from Britters and Dale. Britter says they looked so old, and it's true. Mike Bever, his birthday was 3/11. Happy birthday, Mike. Oh, from Twitter. We have a Twitter comment. There you go.
Okay. 3/11 also, I think, the day of the Madrid train bombings that happened in shortly post 9/11, like maybe the next couple of years later.
Wow.
Not a good thing. All right. So we got a couple people here and some important ones. We got happy Pi Day shouts, of course, but Natalie Huff is here, made it live finally in London. Lovely to be here. That's good. Cause I've had my doubts about London before. I know it's super vegan friendly place and I'd like to kind of go to it, but I just wonder, it just doesn't seem that fun.
Mm.
But I'm glad it's lovely to be there.
Your one Irish friend, Stephen Dunn, is here.
Yes. I wonder if Stephen listened to yesterday's episode where at the end I said, all right, I guess I'm okay with Irish people. I just don't like St. Patrick's Day that much.
happy pre-St. Patrick's Day, Stephen, and anyone else celebrating this weekend.
My I don't girls think are Stephen's actually right. is that a legit Irish celebration? I think maybe it is, but
I think so.
I'm sure they roll their eyes at Americans doing it.
My kids have already picked out their outfits for school tomorrow.
Wow. That's pretty serious.
Oh, yeah. They're ready.
Commitment. Good. All right. I don't have too much new. I don't think there's really much else today. I thought I had another thing I wanted to get into besides Pi Day, but I don't remember what it was. So we'll see if it comes up later. What about you, Doug? Anything else? How's your Doug's wellness plan going?
Great.
Yeah?
I'm loving the yoga. I did yoga with Adrian or Adriana or something.
Oh, you did that.
Everybody recommended yesterday.
Okay.
She's got 12 million subscribers on YouTube. She's big time.
Hmm. I thought she was like a Peloton show person when I heard.
No, no, before. she's just yoga, I think. And loved it. Thought it was great.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Feeling really good. Honestly, feels really nice.
Yeah. Good. Well, good for you. Glad to hear it. All right, British wants to talk about Irish dishes tomorrow. That's something we can, well, we don't, oh, to make tomorrow because it's Friday before St. Patrick's Day. Okay, yeah, we can try that. Stephen can give us some good examples of some vegan bangers and mash or whatever it is, whatever you people do. Cabbage and something, I don't know. Potatoes, I'm sure. Mike Bever points out 420 not far away as we're in date topics. That is only a month and 6 days away. That is of no interest to Doug, local politician, of course. So he probably doesn't know what that means. Like my son, shockingly, my son, we saw a 420 sticker yesterday on a car. It also had a bong, like being passed, like that finger picture, the Sistine Chapel, but a bong was being passed from God to whoever that other guy is in the picture. And I said, oh, that car's full of marijuana references with their stickers. And he was like, what do you mean? And he had no idea 420 was a weed thing, which I just can't, like, because he knows most all these things. He knows all anything I know, he knows now at his age, middle school, you know, they just know it all. But I just, like, that hasn't gone down to the younger generation, I guess.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Steven says, box tea is a potato pancake. Coddle is a stew easily veganized. Coal cannon, shepherd's pie. Potato pancake, that sounds pretty good. I could get into a good savory breakfast thing like that.
Is shepherd's pie like basically Popeye?
As far as I know. But like the top is a potato layer. It's covered with potatoes. Huh. Mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds pretty good. I would eat a shepherd's pie.
It's so much work, though, I would imagine, to make a vegan shepherd's pie or any shepherd's pie. It just sounds like a whole afternoon. I'd like to know, Stephen, what is the beer to drink on St. Patty's Day? Is it Guinness the obvious choice, or is that kind of, is there like a next level thing? Right curve move, or what, left curve? How's that saying go, Doug? You know the curve thing? Left curving something, right curving something. It's like, what's like the trending thing to do? What's like the overthinking thing to do?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we should jump into the good topics, the good stuff. And we do have some fun stuff today. I mentioned them at the top of the show, some of the things we've got. But let's jump into weather report, which I kept one out of the weather report just because it's such a big thing, and that's the impossible story. But quickly, two smaller stories we got. Mr. Jeffrey, is he here today? I don't know. Don't think so. But anyway, he should know. The two major noteworthy brands in the alternative food space have launched vegan mac and cheese products in Canada this week. One of them is Kraft Heinz Not Company, who we talked about, I don't know, what was that, 2 days ago, with the Oscar Mayer vegan wieners coming out soon. I think that's Kraft Heinz, who they partnered with, or they're, I'm confused here, Doug. Do you know? Oscar Mayer, was that a Kraft Heinz move? I know it was Not Company.
That was Not Company move.
But was Kraft Heinz, I think they're the owner
of Oscar Mayer. Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. They own Not Company. Yeah.
So they're just taking Kraft Heinz products and making Not versions of them, it sounds like now, which is great. So they're doing mac and cheese. You know, that's the typical Kraft blue box macaroni and cheese. Everyone knows that one. That has been available in the US, but not in Canada yet. That's coming, and it's expected to be a big thing because that mac and cheese, the normal one, is like 50% of the market there. So this vegan one's good. But also, Daiya, not to be confused with the wrong pronunciation, Daiya, is doing the same thing in Canada. Dry powdered mac and cheese, they're calling it. I mean, dry powdered doesn't sound like a good brand name. Like, we all know that that's what the blue box mac and cheese is. But
wait, it's called dry powder mac and cheese?
Yeah, the dry powdered mac and cheese.
That's bad.
Right. It doesn't make sense. But that's it. I mean, it's a new line. It's all in capital letters, dry powdered mac and cheese. So I don't know if that's the real name that would be consumer facing or not, or if it's just for us industry types. This was from Vegconomist, which is kind of industry stuff, but I don't know. I think that's the name. It's available in cheddar and white cheddar. And this one is not yet in the United States, but it will be pretty soon. Walmart and the Fresh Market will both have it along with an aged cheddar variety. So I'd give that a taste, because the problem with the Daiya cheese to me mostly is the texture. It's not that it tastes bad. It's just kind of gross and sticky and weird. So this is obviously a whole different product because it's powdered, and melting isn't going to be an issue because it's a powder. So I assume it will be more of a dissolving issue. So I'll give this a try and see what it's like. But I can't imagine making this constant or a frequent
staple. Yeah. A staple in your house? I don't know.
I don't think so. You don't know.
Crumple up some pretzels on top?
I mean, that wouldn't even cross my mind. Does that really cross your mind as like a thing to do?
I just no. I did not. No, okay. It would not. Corn chips, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Steven has weighed in with the beers. Let's hit the rest of the weather report, and then I'll jump back to those. Can't resist that. The other one, just a small deal. That's kind of a joke here. I didn't mean to make the joke, but it is one. Whoops. Del Monte, everyone calls it Del Monte, but I think it should be Del Monte, right, Doug? of the mountain.
Sure. The Monte.
Not Spanish. I think that would be Italian, I guess. anyway, they're releasing the Precious Honey Glow, which is a small petite version of their Golden Sweet Pineapple. That's pretty much the only pineapple you see in stores, the Del Monte version. Del Monte. do nothing like an Italian pineapple. They're just they're better from there than anywhere else. These are only 1 to 2 pounds, and it's half the size of the traditional variety, and they're calling it the most compact pineapple in Del Monte's history, and they're citing food waste as the reason that they're doing this thing. But speaking of math things, today being Pi Day, people know that I think it's commonly known that when you expand like an object, the volume increases cubically, right? Because like volumes are measured in like feet cubed, for example, cubic feet, but surface area it increases only in a square. So as something gets more and more giant, you following, Doug?
Keep going.
Just imagine a cube. If I have a cube and it is 2 units width, 2 units length, two yep. units height, right? And I expand yep. that thing to double its size. Its volume has just become 4 by 4 by 4. It's gone to 64 down from where it was. It was 8 before. Mm-hmm. Its volume was 2 by 2 by 2. It was 8. Now it's 64 as soon as I double it. But the surface area has only squared.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So as things get larger, mm-hmm. the proportion of surface area to volume changes. This is why really small animals have trouble keeping in heat, because as the surface area goes down, you get the opposite effect. The volume decreases way faster than the surface area does. Right? So small animals relative to larger animals have
so
a lot of
volume, but lots of skin around it.
Right. And so my problem with the pineapple is that when you shrink the pineapple, you're increasing the surface area relative to the volume. And to me, the waste of the pineapple is what happens when I try to cut one, because all that flesh around the outside gets lost as you're trying to peel it. So I think there's going to be even more waste happening with the smaller pineapples than less. Right? So I'm going to add that to my prediction. The golden honeydew, precious honeydew, honey glow will be discontinued by the end of the year, just like the Impossible Whopper, which I may need to revise that prediction now that they got this new packaging, which I think is fire, as the kids say.
All right, I got a question. So when was the last time you ate an entire pineapple, though? I mean, I think what they're saying is here is like people want a couple slices of pineapple, right? Mm-hmm. And they just don't eat the whole thing, right? So you end up cutting half of it, you know, using it, and then putting the rest in the fridge and then never come back to it.
Well, that's not how it has gone in my house. We peel the whole pineapple, chop it up into little cubes, throw away the middle, throw away the outer flesh, and that's where a lot of the waste is, because it just happens. And then it goes in a bowl, and then people just eat it, and it's gone in like 2 days.
Okay.
It really doesn't ever sit there left over. Maybe that's not everybody's situation.
I don't know. It's so rare. How often do you buy pineapple?
I used to a lot more. I don't really do that now.
We get frozen pineapple. I love putting frozen pineapple. Just a couple chunks in a smoothie will transform any nasty flavors into a sweet, delicious smoothie.
Yeah, I could see that. Pineapple is weird. It reacts with my mouth, and then I can't like taste things normally for an hour. I think other people have that as well. So there you are. There's your pineapple update. They do, by the way, have two other kinds of pineapples. I don't have them here. They're like one's a pink flavor or something, and they got some other one that's some other thing. So it must be GMO related. I don't really know. Maybe not. But we saw this was happening with other fruits, and there was a big GMO uproar about it. So there we go. That's your weather report. All right. On to the three times teased now new packaging from Impossible. They've unveiled it at the, what's that thing? Expo West. But there's two things that sort of were foreshadowed here. Peter McGinnis, their CEO, we had this on our weather report a few weeks ago, basically saying that their food was associated with wokeness and elitism. And that was why people didn't want it. And that was reason for the failure so far of these plant meats. And that was being discussed as far as rebranding went. The other thing we discussed maybe a little longer than that ago was this ProVeg research study that found that people thought that red made food seem more better, meatier tasting, more attractive, just seemed like they would taste better if they were in red packaging. And this discussion was all the plant-based stuff is green. Maybe that's been a massive mistake. And so Impossible's now gone. I think it literally is 180 degrees, right? Because isn't green the complementary color of red on the wheel?
Yeah, I think it is.
They've gone 180 degrees from green to red. And can you pull this up, Doug?
I've got it all for people to see. Yes, absolutely. So if you're watching on Instagram, head over to YouTube. That's where the magic is.
Yeah.
Twitter, you should be able to see it.
That's youtube.com/nomadeathlete, which is the title of the show on Instagram nowadays.
All right. So this is the new and improved Impossible branding.
There it is.
Optimized for omnivores. What do you think?
I think it looks pretty good. I don't know quite why. It's hard. You know, I'm sort of an insider to this whole plant-based thing. We talk about this stuff every single day almost. So I don't know how a mainstream person would see this, but to me, this just looks like it would be tastier. This just looks more like regular meat would look.
Yeah. I mean, it does. Like, everything about it looks like regular meat.
Animal. And then if you scroll down later in the article, you can see they do a side-by-side of the old packaging versus the new. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a striking difference to me in the store.
Yeah.
That one looks like flimsy, healthy, sustainable. A lot of the things we don't want associated when I say flimsy, like it just seems not hearty and I don't know, the whole soy boy thing. Like, this red just seems meaty and good. I don't know if that means it'll work. I don't know if it will trick anybody or you know, on a subconscious level, make it just seem better. But I think so. They pointed out that 90% of their customers do eat meat as well. So that's
90%. Wow.
Yeah, we kind of knew they were targeting omnivores, but I don't know if I knew it was that high. And he kind of bragged that like one out of two people who try it say though they will intend to purchase again. So 50% is just not really very good retention. But I guess
like that's not bad. I mean, like, I don't know, especially if they're omnivores. I feel like that's pretty good.
Like if you buy it, though, like I feel like if you get over the hump and you buy something, yeah, maybe you're right. Most things I buy, I probably don't buy again. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, most new things that I buy, I probably only buy once. That's a good point. Maybe that is pretty high.
What do you think? What do you think about the move to where? So two of the packages have hands. Both of them appear to be female hands.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Let me see these hands.
Got it right. Up on the...
I thought people didn't like dismembered body parts on most images, but.
But if you look at like if you go back to the one where it's side by side, the green.
Yeah,
one
it definitely
looks like
a female hand.
It looks like a female hand for sure, but it looks like that one little meatball on a toothpick looks way cooler than a plate of meatballs.
Yeah, and not all the sauce. They said they removed some of the sauce from the picture to make it just folks just look more meaty, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think the female probably is the person who's making the purchases much more often. Mm. And so I don't know if that would, you know, appeal or not.
But the rest of it is such, it just feels a lot more masculine.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? They know more than we do, I'm sure, about what needs to be on the package. But this is good. Apparently it's going to debut with the hot dogs, with the Impossible, I think it's called the Impossible Beef Hot Dog, which we thought was kind of a weird name to just put the word beef in there. But I don't know. You could just see, I don't know if they have a picture of those hot dogs. I don't think they do. But you can just imagine seeing that red package of hot dogs and like just someone throwing
that
in the cart.
It looks like all the other hot dogs.
Right. And then I think it just seems like an easier, like, hey, I'll give this a try. So I think this is great. As much as I'm not a fan of the plant meats really anymore. I don't know. I think this might endanger my Impossible Whopper prediction of failure.
If people. So, people, all right. What do you think about this? So let's look at this hot dog cover here. Impossible beef hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Very much is what you see. That's the white. And then in a pretty, you know, font that is significantly less obvious to read
right,
than the white and then the better for the planet.
Yep.
Is
yep.
the meat from plants.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Right. So the only thing on there that says this is not meat is the plants word, right? Mm-hmm. So even the word meat is there. And so your eye needs to see that one word that is not contrasting with the red very much at all. It's in black. And I mean, 2% of the package area, maybe less. I don't know. Tiny.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And look at the other one, like ground beef. It says ground beef really big and then meat from plants. Definitely could confuse people. The Impossible brand, I think, is really known, so maybe people won't be, but I don't know.
I could see someone being confused by this for sure.
Are there people who just have no idea what Impossible means.
I'm sure. Probably.
Especially now that it's rebranded. It might just not even trigger that it's the same thing they heard about a few years ago.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is.
I like it though.
It really makes it seem, even to us non-media, it just, for me, it just seems more attractive. Like, I'd be more likely to have that this weekend after seeing that than not. Maybe just because it's new and fresh. I don't know. But I think this is a good, big thing.
And if you look at, I mean, just the packaging in general, and I guess Beyond's doing the same thing, but, you know, like this ground beef packaging, the hot dog packaging, the sausage packaging, all of it looks exactly like the meat version. You know what I mean?
Looks like the meat. Yeah, whatever the meat version would be. Yeah. Yep, definitely. And it matches the beef in the picture, too. Or the beef, I guess it's not in the picture. The beef that you actually see in the thing. It just looks better. I don't know. And it meant, don't forget, Impossible was the one who's made their product bleed. So that's always been part of their thing, is make it look like the real thing. And so they're doing that more. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I feel like it's our job to be against these plant meats. I'm just kind of entrenched in that position.
You feel that way? It's our job?
I don't mean our job. I just mean to be consistent with my identity and my prior comments. I feel like I'm anti-plant meat guy now. And I thought the downfall was coming. And I still think it's coming, or at least a transformation into different stuff, like the cultivated meat. But I don't know. This is good. I think this is fantastic. Garuda even says, the meatball wins. I would grab it. Looks like a girl trying to feed me. Okay, so that's may not be exactly what they're going for, but still, if Garuda, the constant naysayer and contrarian about these lab-made meats and cheeses and things, which we should be clear, this is not the lab-grown meat stuff, but he often says, I wouldn't eat the stuff made in the lab. I don't know. That says something, right?
Yeah, I guess so. he also says he wants to marry the meatball hand model, though. I don't know. Gregory Green says, this looks promising. Kate Rivercat says the aqua looks soft, especially compared to the red.
Yeah.
Steven, it's better, but don't know if they need a human hand in the packaging. And then I think you said dismembered, and Mr. Jeffrey says, I don't know if I'd call it dismembered.
That's what they say. It's like, if you see only the body part, they call it a dismembered thing. And it doesn't, because that's what it calls to mind, is an appendage without a person.
Sarah says the red looks great. I don't use fake meats, but my family really likes Impossible. So, I mean,
Where's the person who comes along and says, this stuff's still junk food. We should never eat this. This stuff causes heart, whatever. Doesn't do that, but I don't know. Where's Anne Marie when we need her? I thought she showed up and said it was going to tell us that oil's no good.
QB75 says 50% is high for omnivores to want something that mimics animal products. That's what I think too.
Yeah, but you're right. If they try it, that's a very good point. I was wrong. I retract that. You happy there?
Yeah. Doug? Yeah, I am. Ready to go back. I'm right. Just say, Doug, you were right.
You were right. Okay. It's a high number of retention. All right. So I don't know what else to say about it. Anything else before we move on?
No, I don't think so. I think this is good. Is Beyond going to follow suit? What does Beyond look like? I'm going to pull that up real quick.
Yeah, do that. I don't really know what Beyond looks like. I can't picture that.
Let's see here. It is also green.
Yeah, I mean, I think almost all these things are green. Like, not just those two brands, but I think almost all the plant-based meats have some green prominently displayed.
All right, pulling up Beyond here.
You know what's interesting while you're doing this? I don't know if the smaller brands have responded, but it's interesting that if Impossible is one of the first to do this, like this research came out that we saw 2 or 3 months ago. Like, it's just surprising that they would move faster than the much, much smaller companies at getting the stuff changed. Maybe they've known that much longer than 3 months in that, and they've been working on it since then. I don't really know. So yeah, there's Beyond. Very green. Looks less flimsy because it's not white and green. It's dark green.
Right. It definitely, I don't know. I mean, like, that's a masculine green color. You'd think, see the cowl in there? Like, you'd think that would, I could see a meat version of, you know, these brats with that same green packaging.
Yeah, right. I think you're right.
Interesting, they have plant-based patties, plant-based everything instead of
And they don't say beef and meat on it. You're right. They stay away from that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, Impossible emphasized that their sustainability messaging would remain there, and that you showed the one thing that had the call out for the how it's more sustainable than regular beef. But I don't really see it on most of the packages. It'll be elsewhere, I'm sure, that they talk about it. But there's no benefit here on the front other than good tastiness. I mean, as far as we can tell, they don't talk about that stuff. Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's your Beyond or your Impossible update. I'm eager to try it now. I kind of want one of those new beef hot dogs that are coming out. Get those in a nice red pack. Get some buns. Fire up the grill. Actually, I don't have a grill anymore, but put them in the microwave. Boil a spot of water. Throw them in there.
There you go. Hey, just real quick shout out. This might be the most people we've ever had live between YouTube and Twitter. Yeah. Thank you all for being here. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yes, definitely. Maybe I should send a tweet, Doug. That would be like a good way to start engaging the Twitter people, would be to do a tweet. Yeah, I'm going to try that. We'll see how it goes. All right. On to the next. And this is kind of interesting, too. We're going dumpster diving. It's Thursday. When you don't have stuff to talk about, what I do is I go to Best Life Online and I go to Eat This, Not That. And I find an article to talk about today. What I got is one that's kind of related to what we often talk to. 8 ultra-processed foods that are actually good for you, nutritionist says. So it is just one nutritionist who says that these things are good for you.
Just
one. This nutritionist is Sarah. Actually, I don't know. This is the one who wrote the article, Sarah Garone. It is fact-checked by Olivia Tarantino.
Sarah is a registered dietitian and dietetic technician.
Okay.
And a health writer.
Okay. And so she is the nutritionist because her voice is it's first person sort of article. It's not quoting another one. So there we go. So she meant let's just get to the foods. We don't need the foreplay. Number one, bread. Bread, is it healthy or not? She says, and if the ultra processed lists are to be believed, then of course it's a no-no. But she says when made with whole grains, remains one of the healthiest foods around. I mean,
healthiest foods around? Maybe, I don't know. I don't think it's a junk food if it's, you know,
whole grain. No, I don't think either. But I just don't, I don't know if it's a, I mean, and it has a huge role throughout history, right? Bread, sustenance, it's easy to take wheat, make food from it. And it's delicious.
Yes.
I guess for a starving person, sure. One of the healthiest foods around. I don't know. I don't know about, is it a great healthy choice? I think it's okay. I hear a lot of people saying whole wheat bread, not that much better than white bread. They're all bad. That's what a lot of the plant-based docs will say.
Are you choosing sourdough bread or whole grain bread?
I would go with, I think I'd go with the sourdough over the whole grain. Even if it was white sourdough, no really evidence for why that is. I just, from the Blue Zones kind of stuff, they talk more about those sourdough things. Hopefully some kind of whole grains in there, but whole grain sourdough, that's a winner. I'm calling that nearly health food if you can get the two things together.
What about sprouted Ezekiel bread?
I think that's probably pretty healthy. It tastes like cardboard, but I think it's pretty healthy probably.
Yeah. Okay.
They recommend in this article Dave's Killer Bread, which we buy, and it's $7 a loaf, and it has added sugar, which I don't like. So it's not my favorite thing. But it's
It's also, it's just not. I don't know. We buy it too, but it's so expensive, and it's not all that good.
No, it's not that good. You're right about that. I don't like sweet things, and you can taste the sugar in it to me, and that's my problem. All right, on to the next. Number two, canned soups. Doug, you like canned soups, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really almost ever eat them. And it's not that I'm a snob or anything about them. I just wouldn't know which ones to get or where. Here they recommend Amy's Organic Lentil Soup, which I went and clicked on the link and then saw the nutrition facts. There's nothing UPF about Amy's nutrition or Amy's. It's filtered water, organic green lentils, organic celery, organic carrots, organic onions, organic potatoes, extra virgin olive oil, sea salt, spices. Not one thing on there that is not found in a normal domestic kitchen. And nothing else. So I'm not calling that UPF.
That's a good point. That is my favorite. That's my go-to canned soup. Get that. Yep, we have that in our cupboard at all times. And on nights when I need a quick meal, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's a good. We should do that too. That's a good a great quick meal.
I went through a soup phase when I lived in DC and didn't make very much money. Put all my money towards alcohol.
Yeah.
It was like for lunch, I would just get a can of soup that cost a dollar or whatever, and I would just make that almost every day. That would be my lunch.
So only $1 you can get a decent soup?
Or no, maybe like $1.50 or something. And it probably wasn't that decent. Like it was probably Campbell's lentil soup or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, just kind of, it was like fairly inexpensive way to get a fairly balanced meal.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I don't like when the soups are like pasty and thick and strange, but I don't, this Amy's, I don't know how it would be because it doesn't have any thickeners in it. So I don't know. You ever see soups during your ultra running, Doug, like in the overnight hours that everyone in your crew
broth,
soup?
Lots of broth.
Broth.
Mm-hmm.
But no. I think I had Amy's, tofu noodle, tofu and stars. I don't know what it was. Mm. I had that during my 100 miler and I thought it was a really nice.
Oh, the chicken, choice. No chicken, chicken noodle.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it was. It has little tofu cubes in it. That's about the only one I ever had. I don't know. My mom's been on a big Trader Joe's lentil soup kick. She says that's the stuff. That's the good stuff.
Okay.
Oh, look, here she is. Yes. 30 seconds
before. I thought you were reading it. Your comment.
She called it.
Just left it. Oop, wrong one. There we go. All right. What's number three?
Yeah, Garuda's point is right. We're kind of in the apocalyptic. This is like your bunker. Well, I guess bread doesn't keep very fresh, but okay. Number three. So far, interesting coincidence, maybe not, that these two kind of cheap, you might call them peasant foods if you were not worried about offending poor people. And when you say peasant foods, I don't think you are. You're talking about a culinary tradition. for real. Interesting that those so far are the winners, right? Because I think Eat Like a Poor Person came out of the coach from that running book. What was that run? Chris McDougall. Born to Run. There was a running coach who said, my advice, eat like a poor person. And so interesting that so far, these aren't fancy UPFs. These are humble things. Bread That's and right. soup. All right, number three, granola bars. She says, when made with whole grains like oats as their first ingredient and added sweeteners kept to a minimum, granola bars have plenty to offer. So yeah, I agree with that, but good luck finding one that doesn't have a lot of added sugar. That's just not that easy.
I'm going to say most granola bars are not health foods by any stretch of the imagination.
Most not.
They can be good in a pinch, they can be a good snack. No hate on granola bars as serving a purpose, but I wouldn't call it a health food.
No, but most of the calories in that, maybe not most, but a lot of the calories in that are coming from whole oats and grains, and that's better than coming from, sugar and chocolate and whatever else you could eat as a bar in that moment. So
yeah,
not terrible. I'd go with a Lara bar over over one of those personally.
You're a Lara bar guy.
I would, but not the kind with chocolate chips and all that. Just the fruit and nuts ones only. All right, number four, mocktails. She's talking here not about the high sugar ones, which I have a feeling many of them are very high in sugar. And she's talking about like canned cocktails here. She's talking about canned ones, I think. But some she recommends have just 60 calories and 11 grams of added sugar. That's kind of a lot as far as like saying this is a health food. If it's instead of alcohol, I will give you a yes, this is a healthy choice. But instead of water, I don't know if you need 11 grams of sugar, two or three times a day as your drink with a meal. So I'm not.
This is a weird one. This is a weird one.
Yeah, why not just make seven? Seven's way better number for the headline. Just get that out of there.
I think that this title should be 8 ultra processed foods that aren't as bad as you think they are. Or something like that.
what was it?
Actually saying they're actually good for you. Like why?
You're
like,
right.
I mean, I guess it's better for you than a mocktail or than a cocktail.
Right. It's eat this, not that. That's what they do, right? They say eat this instead of that. So maybe their audience is trained to think good for you just means better alternative. Okay. Number five, breakfast cereal. The new dinner, according to the Kellogg's guy, says that's what you peasants should eat is when, buy our cereal and have that for dinner. But it's actually not very cheap. So not a good idea. Yeah, I don't know. She talks, says Nature's Path multi-brand flakes, classic harbingers of ultra processing, most of these. And that's probably true, but they can be good. We like grape nuts, right, Doug? You and I, team grape nuts.
For the win.
One of few things that we agree on. And probably nobody else really agrees on that one. grape nuts, I think they are ultra processed, but I think that's a decent choice for different goals.
Is that better than bread? Like, how would that be better than bread?
It's the same. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was
saying. Except grape nuts doesn't have the added sugar and a lot of other stuff. It has maybe a few other things in there to preserve it or whatever. I don't even know what that much. I should probably know what's in there.
I want to know. So Gregory here says that he has breakfast or cereal for dinner lots of times. I would like to know. We talked about this a week or two ago, but I would love to know how many people actually eat cereal for breakfast.
For dinner.
Cereal for dinner.
Yeah. I'd like to know that as well. And someone said once, twice a week. Maybe it was Bridgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Garuda points out that it doesn't get mold, and that, yeah, that's often due to ultra processing. That will that will help with that. All right. Almost at the end here. Number six, I mean, she's just picking broad categories of food that are really bad, and then she just says, well, make sure you get it this way. So frozen meals, she says, and that's, you know, she says, high content of sodium and other preservatives. But not every frozen meal is a bad choice for your health. She recommends Daily Harvest. I think this is correct that there are some good ones that you can get. Purple Carrot. I don't know how committed they are to the standards that it used to be. They got acquired by a big company, but yeah, I think there are definitely examples of frozen meals you can get that are good for you. But the vast majority are not. You don't do frozen meals though, Doug, right? We said no because it takes too hard to microwave four different meals. You have to eat all different shifts family.
No, very rarely. We do the frozen burritos, Amy's frozen burritos, every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if it's like one person needs a snack, I mean, a lunch. Yeah,
that's what we do.
And then there are some Trader Joe's frozen meals that I like. That's the one of the few things I like to get at Trader Joe's.
And are they healthy or are they loaded with other? All this
I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Number seven, Garuda Legend Special Jerky. I mean, yeah, not much to say here. They say when it's loaded with salt and added sugars and things, flavored jerkies are ultra processed. But if it's just plain old dried meat, she says that's a healthy, high protein snack. Yeah, I mean, I think agree with high protein. Agree that's better than all the other stuff in there. It just comes down to whether you think meat is healthy or not. And if you do, then yeah, jerky without a ton of salt, that's gonna be the hard part. Is not getting salt. It's probably a good bet. I don't know. Does it still have like the fat and all that in beef jerky? Like, does it have as much fat as red meat has, or is it somehow, is it when it's dried, does that go away?
I have no idea. Not a clue.
It never like tasted like it had all that fat. I mean, it just tasted like salt, honestly. I don't really know. All right. Number eight, packaged oatmeal. Oats are one of the healthiest foods on earth. This is what Michael Palmer, CMO, has said and been made fun of over and over for saying. I think people pretty much universally agree oatmeal is the healthiest food in the world. And no one agreed. but are oats one of the healthiest food on earth? I mean, Dave Asprey doesn't think so. He says they're peasant food. He said it was made to be given to the poor people or marketed for the poor people. And it's bad, full of anti-nutrients.
He's somebody I trust always.
Yeah, I know. And in the same thing, he was shilling his ice cream and saying that was healthier because it had... including sugar. He even mentioned sugar. So this is
I think oats are not bad for you at all. I think oats are a great
How could they be bad for you? Right. I mean, people do say anti-nutrients, but if you look at the long-term health outcomes instead of mechanisms, and it's all good if you eat oats, and it helps with a lot of long-term things. Disease risk, diabetes, probably heart disease. So yeah, I don't think this is a bad, unhealthy food at all. I don't really like it, but I don't think it's unhealthy. Of course, you got to skip the packaged oatmeals that are loaded with sugar and preservatives. And I think you just get good old oats and just make them yourself, right? Overnight oats, maybe? You do overnight, Doug?
No, I'm not big on like cold breakfast, unless it's a cereal. I don't know. Overnight oats have never done it for me. I have no problem with them. I just don't like them.
Yeah, I understand.
But the, you know, a good, we get, you know, everybody wants steel cut oats and all that stuff instead of the instant oats, but in my house we tend to just get a giant jug of just plain old instant oats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
steel cut instant, I don't even, there's three different kinds, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think instant is the most processed. Like they've removed some things to make it cook quicker.
Oh really? It's not just it's just ground more finely?
No.
Okay. No, that's good.
They are. I think that, you know, if you pay attention to like insulin levels and stuff like that, they spike your insulin more than some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, it's just like that. If I'm going to make oatmeal, I'm not going to spend 10 minutes making oatmeal. I'm going to just pour hot water in there and yeah. or milk or whatever and make a quick oatmeal.
Right. All right.
Good stuff.
Gavruta points out kind of accurately, this is a list of apocalypse food. I think that's also why peasant food came up so many times in that list. Not by them, by me. I said it, but it's just interesting. I mean, that it's not a coincidence, right? The healthy stuff of processing is also going to be these foods that are traditionally thought of as humble and not high tech, not fancy, not these things where they're adding all these omega-3s and adding all the stuff to make it seem like health food. It's just kind of basic food that they're putting into a fairly convenient form, like canned soup, bread with preservatives, whatever. So that is accurate. Speaking of that, Gregory Green says, I keep frozen things in the freezer for emergencies. And I think that's a good move. Not apocalypse emergencies, but like emergencies, like you didn't make dinner that night. That's where I think the canned soups could be a good thing. I need to do that and save on these $80 takeout trips, which I hate absolutely doing. So I'm going to do
canned soup, couple slices of that sourdough bread.
Yum, yum. Where are you getting sourdough bread? Like from the store?
No, we get it from the bakery.
Oh, okay. But you have it in a pinch in an emergency. You just have it fresh loaf. I mean,
we buy a loaf every week at the bakery.
Okay. Aaron makes sourdough at a high pace, frequent pace. So we have that often.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Well, I think that is it. I don't think there's anything else to say. Good articles today. Good show. I like this. Lots of engagement. 81 people here in the live right now, but 53 from Twitter, and unknown quantity to me, that Twitter thing. I don't get who those people are, but the fact that somebody commented is good. Yeah. It means it's not all bots. So we'll see. All right. That's it.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy your Pi Day. Enjoy your St. Patty's Day celebration. Be safe on that day, please. I think that's, we said it was Sunday. So whether you celebrate Friday or Thirsty Thursday, Doug, you don't know the Thirsty Thursday, St. Patty's Day themed event tonight?
No, not St. Patty's Day themed. No.
Cinco de Mayo theme, probably.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, always.
Good. All right. Well, anyway, be safe. Make good decisions if you're doing that stuff. If you're pretending to be Irish.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Good time.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.